the book of Jeremiah. And we are in Jeremiah chapter 10. Our fifth study in the book of Jeremiah brings us to chapter 10, verse 1. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Jeremiah 10, verse 1. Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with an axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers, so that it will not topple. They are upright, like a palm tree, and they cannot speak. They must be carried, because they cannot go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do any good. And so God is appealing to his people, and he says to his people, get rid of your idols. They can't help you if you worship them, and they can't hurt you if you throw them away. So just throw them away. Verse 6. Inasmuch as there is none like you, O Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your rightful due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether dull-hearted and foolish. A wooden idol is a worthless doctrine. Silver is beaten into plates. It is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the craftsmen and of the hands of the metalsmith. Blue and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skillful men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to abide his indignation. And we see from these verses that the real God is eternal, not man-made, like those other so-called gods. And the Bible says there is no one like our God. There is no one like the real God. He is creator and he is judge. And you got to have rocks in your head not to serve and fear a God like that. Verse 11. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. God says, tell those who worship false gods that their so-called gods will perish from this universe that I have created. This is my world. I made it. They're not going to be around. Verse 12. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom. He has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. Everyone is dull-hearted, without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are futile, a work of errors. In the time of their punishment they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Those who worship false gods will be ashamed of themselves on judgment day, when they are sent to hell, and their precious but very lifeless so-called gods can't lift a finger to help them. 17. Gather up your wares from the land, O inhabitants of the fortress. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will throw out at this time the inhabitants of the land, and will distress them, that they may find it so. And he says in verse 19, woe is me, for my hurt, my wound is severe. But I say truly, this is an infirmity, and I must bear it. My tent is plundered, and all my cords are broken. My children have gone from me, and they are no more. There is no one to pitch my tent anymore, or set up my curtains. For the shepherds have become dull-hearted, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the report has come, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate, a den of jackals. And so God tells his people to pack their bags, because they're going to be run out of the country. And the preachers, they shared much of the blame, because instead of warning people to repent of their sin, they made them feel comfortable in their sin. 23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. In other words, people are not free to live any way they want to. God is God, and only those who submit to his lordship will be blessed in the end. It is not every person for themselves in God's creation. That's not how it works. This is God's creation. He calls the shots. 24. O Lord, correct me, but with justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. Pour out your fury on the Gentiles who do not know you, and on the families who do not call on your name. For they have eaten up Jacob, devoured him, and consumed him, and made his habitation desolate. You know, when God punishes, it is done within the context of love and justice, not fury and hate, just as Jeremiah prayed. You know, if God judged this world with fury and hate, earth would be a ball of burnt ashes floating aimlessly through outer space, because that's all that would be left of us. If that, we would have been charred a long time ago. Let's go into chapter 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, hear the words of this covenant, and speak to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice, and do according to all that I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God, that I may establish the oath which I have sworn to your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then I answered and said, so be it, Lord. God tells Jeremiah to remind the people of the terms of the covenant which he made with Israel when he first made them a nation after bringing them out of slavery. In other words, God is saying to his people, do you remember what I told you when I first made you a nation? Do you remember the terms of our covenant? Do you remember that I told you that you would be in trouble if you disobeyed me, if you turned your back on me and would not repent? I'm just reminding you of what you have known for centuries, because this is an old law and an old covenant, and you have forgotten it. Verse 9, and the Lord said to me, a conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, who refused to hear my words, and they have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will surely bring calamity on them, which they will not be able to escape, and though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods of whom they help, of whom they offer incense, but they will not save them at all in the time of their trouble. For according to the number of your cities where your gods were your gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, you have set up altars to that shameful thing, altars to burn incense to Baal. Well, the sin of God's people was not committed in ignorance, which made it all the more grievous to God. They knew what God wanted, but they didn't care. Consequently, they can cry all that they want, and they can beg for mercy, but God doesn't show mercy to those who refuse to abandon their evil ways. 14. Therefore, do not pray for this people, or lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry out to me because of their trouble. Verse 15. What has my beloved to do in my house, having done lewd deeds with many, and the holy flesh has passed from you? When you do evil, then you rejoice. The Lord called your name, green olive tree, lovely and of good fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he has kindled fire on it, and its branches are broken. For the Lord of hosts, who planted you, has pronounced doom against you for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense to Baal. And so they can bring their offerings to the temple if they want to. But God is making it clear that offerings are no substitute for repentance. You know, their sins have become a part of them, a part of them that they love, and they will not quit committing those sins until the wrath of God takes away their opportunity to commit them. It's the only way they're going to give it up. 18. Now the Lord gave me knowledge of it, and I know it, for you showed me their doings. But I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter, and I did not know that they had devised schemes against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more. But, O Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have revealed my cause. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the men of Anathoth, who seek your life, saying, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, lest you die by our hand. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and there shall be no remnant of them. For I will bring catastrophe on the men of Anathoth, even the year of their punishment. More evidence that the people were not interested in repenting and therefore deserved to be punished by God. They tried to kill Jeremiah because he preached the word of God, which they hated so much. But God protects his preachers until their mission is accomplished. And so he warned Jeremiah, and he will deliver him. Chapter 12. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? Now, Jeremiah knew God, and he knows that God is a righteous God, so he wonders why it's so often the case that the good have it bad and the bad have it good. And he's wondering about that. And it says in verse 2, you have planted them. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. You're near in their mouth, Jeremiah says. They talk about you. But you're not in their soul. Bad people talk about God. He is in their mouth, but he is not in their heart. Don't be fooled by people just because they talk about God. 3. But you, O Lord, know me. You have seen me, and you have tested my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. If you love God and try to do what is right, be encouraged to know that God understands that about you. He knows what you're made of. He knows what's inside of you. Verse 4, how long will the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? The beast and birds are consumed for the wickedness of those who dwell there, because they said, he will not see our final end. The wicked sinners were a curse to this country. They were a curse to their country just like they're a curse to the United States of America today. They ruined life for the innocent. It was because of these wicked sinners that the land was being punished by God. 5. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the flooding of the Jordan? And this is the Lord's answer to Jeremiah's complaint. God tells his prophet, if you think it's bad now, just wait. I mean, if the troubles you experience now make you complain, what will you do when things really get tough? 6. For even your brothers, the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Yes, they have called a multitude after you. Do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. It was bad. Jeremiah couldn't trust anyone but God. No one liked the holy man who spoke the holy word of God, just like no one liked the God that he served. And they couldn't get to God because he's in heaven and he's all powerful, so they attacked his man who represented him so well on earth. Verse 7, I have forsaken my house. I have left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. God says he left his temple. He wasn't wanted, so he moved out of his own house. God doesn't force himself on anyone. Never has, and never will. 8. My heritage is to me like a lion in the forest. It cries out against me, therefore I have hated it. The people hated God. Therefore, the prophet who loved God hated those people. Verse 9. My heritage is to me like a speckled vulture. The vultures all around are against her. Come, assemble all the beasts of the field. Bring them to devour. You know, birds will sometimes gather around a strange-looking bird that they haven't seen before. And that's the picture here. Verse 10, many rulers have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Because the preachers delivered pleasant messages to their sinful listeners, as I said earlier, they are responsible, at least in part, and a very large part responsible, for the punishment of God, which is making life miserable for the land of Israel. Verse 11, they have made it desolate. Desolate, it mourns to me. The whole land is made desolate because no one takes it to heart. And so the Holy Land is pictured as crying out to God. It was as if the people, by their sin, beat the land up and caused it to suffer, and it was crying out to God for mercy. 12. The plunderers have come on all the desolate heights in the wilderness, For the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. The judgment of God is so certain that Jeremiah speaks as if it has already happened. 13. They have sown wheat, but reaped thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but do not profit. But be ashamed of your harvest, because of the fierce anger of the Lord. God's people worked hard, but the benefits were very small. Because you see, if God does not bless our labors, we're just going to end up spinning our wheels. And he wasn't blessing them, because they were not obedient to him. Verse 14, thus says the Lord, against all my evil neighbors who touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit, behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. In other words, the punishment will be severe. God's people will be sent into Babylon. But when God's punishment has run its course, God will rescue his people. 15. Then it shall be, after I have plucked them out, that I will return and have compassion on them and bring them back, every one to his heritage and every one to his land. And it shall be, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name as the Lord lives, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be established in the midst of my people. But if they do not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, says the Lord. God will save anyone who honestly turns to him. And that's what he is promising. He doesn't care if they're from Babylon or Assyria or Israel or from the farthest corners of the earth. He will save them if they turn to him. And it's the same today. And so many of us today have come to Christ out of a life filled with sin. But God has received us, and he has forgiven us completely in Christ, because he is a God of grace and mercy, always willing to forgive. We'll pick it up in chapter 13 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.